This is FNX.
Now he was a true MVP. Over me? Twice? Oh, get out of here.
Practice? Not the game. You talking about practice?
Jonas Vassal Inuansas.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Big Ballers Podcast. I am Todd Eastman, and there's something wrong. Someone's been fiddling with my seat. I'm going to change the mirrors. You let Miller drive one episode, and we don't come back for a month and a bit. How are you, Miller, anyway, mate? Are you good?
Yeah, it's good. Nice to meet you, boys.
Yeah. Turns out I wasn't picked up on the trade wire, so I'm back.
Yeah, you were floating around for a while, so we just had to take you back.
Yeah, it was. LJ, how are you, sir? Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. I can't remember what we're doing here, but I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I know. It has been a while. It has been a while indeed. First of all, did any of you guys check out the NCAA today? It was
nah.
The national championship game?
I did.
You did?
That was only because I was at home with a messed up back. But yes, I did.
What did you think
so
of the game?
For a little while there, I thought it was Carnival with all the fucking whistles going on. But, you know, 44 fouls called in a 40-minute game. That is just insane. But other than that, like, for the times I did put the whistle away, it actually was enjoyable. A bit of back and forth. It still blows me away watching college games and you see blokes putting shots up that they have no right to be taking and somehow it goes in.
Yeah.
But
I also hate...
Yeah, that's because they're taking them from the... You're right. Keep going.
No, go on. Go. They're taking it from...
Well, they're taking them from the free throw line. Like, their 3-point line's like a step in from ours.
Yeah, oh, but not even just that. Just the ones where they have a hand in their face or just in traffic. But I guess that's college ball, isn't it? There's no real set plays. It's just, you know, get the ball, run and gun and try and score. But with the whistles playing, it sort of took the big man out of the game early. There was no real clanging and banging down low. But It wasn't a bad game. It still had a bit of drama about it. But, you know, it's always going to be hard to follow the game that happened last year.
Yeah, I was also shocked about how bad the foul shooting was. For guys that are, like a step away from the NBA, I expected a lot better than what it seemed to be every time they got to the line.
Yeah, but you got to remember as well, a lot of these guys won't play NBA.
Yeah, true.
That pressure, though, man, like that's... You don't get that kind of atmosphere even in NBA games. Like, there might be a few places like, you know, Golden State have, you know, pretty crazy atmosphere, and there's a couple of other places. But besides that, that's probably the craziest thing they're ever going to play in.
Yeah.
And that would definitely get in your head.
I also hate that court where, like, the court's above the benches. So everyone's like sitting in a bunker.
With the dugouts, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't like it.
I don't know what the reasoning is for that. I don't know if you boys know, but I don't know if it has something to do with the number of journalists and media and broadcasts and everything I have. Because if you look on the sideline opposite to the benches, it's just chock-a-block full of reporters and whatnot. So I don't know if they do that just sort of keep everyone out of the way and then you can just sort of concentrate on the game.
Mm.
But who knows? One day someone's going to go straight into that dugout.
Yeah. Anyway, Mrs. Mo won our March Madness.
Congratulations to her.
Yes.
Yep.
How do you feel about that, Miller?
it's like your footy tips. The people that know nothing about footy always win the footy tips.
You get fucked. I came second.
Yeah, hang on. Stop. I take it you won footy tips, did you, Toddy?
No.
I thought it was the way you were saying get fucked is like you won the footy tips last year and I've just taken that away from you.
No, it's only because I came second. That's the only reason I'm saying fuck off.
with my bracket this year, last year I tried to pick based on some sort of mediocre knowledge. This year I thought I'm just going to do the old click, 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 click and equally just as bad. So I'm just going to stop doing brackets, I reckon.
Yeah, but this year there was a hell of a lot of upsets. Like a lot of guys... Like in our March Madness, anyway, a lot of guys who'd picked who they thought was going to be the champion, they were out in the first like two rounds, I think it was.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, I suppose there were a lot of upsets on that thing. But just talking about the atmosphere at the game today, did you know that North Carolina couldn't actually sell out their allocated seats for the game, and a lot of the Arizona university students rocked up, and they got offered free tickets, and part of the offer is that they had to wear plain white t-shirts so that they didn't really draw away from looking like they were Arizona students. So,
oh really?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
See, I didn't, because I have no
idea. I would have thought you can't get a ticket.
Yeah, but I have no idea about the geography of America, really. So I don't know how far Arizona is from North Carolina.
Other side of the country, almost.
All right. So maybe that was a reason. Who knows? It was also WrestleMania weekend, so I mean, that's hard.
Yeah, true. Everyone was down in Florida.
Everyone's in Florida. All right, well, let's move on to some NBA. And the Warriors are targeting this Saturday or Sunday, our time, this game against New Orleans Pelicans as the return date for KD, sources told ESPN's Mark Stein. Now, do you guys think that it's maybe they should have just rested him until the start of the first round, or is it getting back in the lineup as soon as possible? What do you guys reckon, Miller?
Oh, well, I suppose when you're healthy, you're healthy. There's no point having someone sit out if they're ready to play. The other thing as well, I suppose when they're coming back to playoffs, you want them ready to go and primed for the big time. So if they can get a couple games under his belt in the regular season, it probably would sort of hold him in good stead for the playoffs.
LJ, I know you don't really care about him, but...
Yeah, well, look, I've never really heard of her, but it sounds as though you've got someone.
I believe your dog is
named... if you've got someone ready to come back, especially, a pretty key player in what you're trying to do, you get him back as soon as it's got to be reasonable. Well, they're not going to rush him back, but if he's ready to go and you can get, even in limited minutes, five games under his belt, you don't want to, no matter who you're playing, you don't want to be trying to sort yourself out in the playoffs, so... I think they've got to bring him back as soon as he's ready. I wouldn't bring him back in their full capacity, maybe. And, as they do anyway, as they'd be doing it this time of year, if you're blowing it out, you're going to rest him. And, even if maybe you're going to take a loss, you probably don't put him back in. But you let him get the rust out and get back used to his role and get the other main thing is let the other guys get used to having him back out there. So you don't want to be sort of teething coming in the playoffs, especially considering he hasn't been there that long. So,
yeah.
Yeah, well, also on injury news, Derrick Rose suffered a torn meniscus in his left knee and will miss the remainder of the season, the team announced on Sunday. Apparently, he's expected to take 6 to 8 weeks recovering from the injury, league sources told Wojo. Apparently, the Knicks are working with Rose to schedule a scope on his knee in the near future. Is this it for the dude? I mean, seriously, how many? I know it's a meniscus, so it's probably not as, it's definitely not as bad as an ACL, but still, it's.
Oh, well, let's be honest.
How many times
have
we had this? How many times have we had this conversation about him in knees, though?
Oh, with everything. But let's be honest. It's when they say it's season ending. His season was ending in a week and a half anyway.
Yeah,
that's right.
So in terms of that, it's not really taking away too much from this season. I mean, it's just time to maybe take him for what he is. He's not the same player. He can still provide something at a team. We saw that this year. He wasn't terrible. He was able to provide. So maybe it's time for him to accept a backup role as a point guard and just allow the younger guys to come through.
Yeah, you get yourself a contender and you have D Rose as your maybe 20 minutes a game off a bench. It's pretty solid. He's just got to be willing to do it, but. Otherwise, I hope he likes fried rice because he's going to be in China. It's going to be just about his only other option at this point, I think. He's going to do a Stevie Francis or something.
Well, how long has he got left on his Knicks contract?
That's it. He's not going to play another game as a Knick. No, there's no chance of that. I wouldn't have thought. But if he wants to get himself ready and come back, teams are still going to take a chance because I think he was averaging like 18 points and a few assists. Like he had his games and he can.
He wasn't the worst starting play. Point guard in the league.
No. But, and that's just always been the case though. He's always been good when he's healthy. It's just the fact that he's never healthy for an extended period of time.
And he's really dumb. He just you hear him talk. The guy's dumb.
Oh, he's not the only. He's not the only one, Matt. Come on, let's be fair.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with, you know, with anything. I just wanted to say it. So,
just while we are on the Knicks, did you guys read about Melo and Phil Jackson? That is going to be a very interesting exit meeting.
Yeah. Do you think they'll end up being with a "well, fuck it, then trade me" sort of talk?
I reckon Melo is going to put the ultimatum out there and say, "Look, Phil, it either you go or I go." That's pretty much where it's at.
Yeah, I think. I mean, did you see what Scottie Pippen said during the week? I think it was this week or last week. This week's just started, but yeah, he just said, "I think New York fans would rather see Melo stay and Phil leave because the team's done nothing since Phil got there." And you
actually,
know,
I did. I remember
he's not half wrong. And I mean, another thing, his legacy is so huge that it probably is not really going to take a beating. But do you guys think that, you know, what Phil Jackson is doing in New York at the moment is hurting his overall, you know, legacy? Yeah. Are we going to remember, you know, oh, he did this with, you know, the Bulls and stuff, but remember when he was at the Knicks?
Well, I don't know. It's like you don't think that way about Michael Jordan as a player because of how bad a GM he is at drafting people.
That's
you
different.
Know what I
mean? Like,
because he's
yeah,
not
but that's a
Phil's
different
not coaching.
It's the same shit, man. Phil was running that team, and Phil was running Chicago. Phil was running the Lakers. Like,
I think they
had GMs and whatever there, but he was running that shit.
Yeah, his biggest.
He's like
problem.
He's just like a crazy old uncle, just sprouting his shit, and it's not making any sense.
But even, I mean, I know that they, you know, they had to do what they could, and it was, you know, New York isn't as attractive as it was once upon a time. That they gave, Roid Boy, Noah, and then, you know, they made a trade, a pretty low risk trade to get D Rose, but they gave Noah a lot of money. Even Courtney Lee, they gave him some coin, and, you know, going back 3 years, they've just made bonehead decisions. So I don't know. I just think it's run its course, and I don't think you can bring it back.
Yeah, his worst decision, well, worst thing is his reliance on trying to enforce the triangle. Because, especially with every coach that comes in, I mean, you've got to let the coach be the coach. You can't just, do you know what I mean? If you want to coach that badly, go and coach.
Yeah, well, that's it as well. But the triangle isn't the only way. Like, I mean, I'm of the opinion that maybe the triangle isn't suited for modern day basketball, but who's to say, you know, I know fuck all about the triangle. But it just, exactly right. You're not the coach. If you want to be the coach. But you have a coach there, so step back. You worry about everything else, and you let, you know, let him coach the team.
Yeah,
triangle obviously worked and had its time, but I think it is very reliant upon who you have running it, and that obviously hasn't worked. But they're just like, obviously there comes a time where, you know, we've all got ideas that we really want to work out, but everyone comes to the realization sometimes that it doesn't work, and you have to move on. Like, I just. Fair enough that he tried it or whatever, even if you try it for a couple of seasons, but it's like it hasn't worked, so maybe look at something else.
Yeah. It was very interesting listening to Fisher when he was commentating with Shaq on that Players Only night. It was the New York game. It was really interesting listening to him talk about that system and how it was hard to try and implement it into that squad. And the fact that they still keep trying it, and I guarantee it's not Hornacek's idea to do it.
No way.
So
they weren't running it in, where was he? Phoenix.
Phoenix.
They weren't running it there.
No.
Yeah, so they're not running anything in Phoenix at the moment, but that's another story.
Oh dear. The NBA is continuing to overhaul how the end of season awards are doled out. Apparently, one of the changes is the removal of team employed media members from the balloting processes for honours such as the MVP, Rookie of the Year, and all NBA nods. Is this really going to affect the voting that much?
Yep. It could. Reckon? I think it could in that if they wanted to. Like, if, for example, say people don't want Harden to get it, then they just leave Harden off the ballot. And then if it comes down to a close call, And there's somewhere where, you know, Harden should have been second or third, but he's not even on the ballot at all for that. He gets no votes. That could be a difference maker.
But
I'm just using Harden as an example.
Yeah, could be anyone. I know. But you think, like,
because, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if you don't have your top four in any order, it doesn't matter the order, that can easily be debated. But if you haven't got LeBron, Russ, Harden, and Kawhi Leonard, then, you know, there's something fishy about it.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder.
And I wouldn't be surprised if you see some ballots that Russ isn't even on, or Harden isn't even on, or something.
Yeah, those, like, yeah,
there's got to be a reason.
Yeah, say like Houston wouldn't put Harden wouldn't put Russell on and stuff like that. Yeah, I can understand you.
Possibly, you know.
Yeah, I can.
And when it's coming down to something where you know LeBron's always in there and deservedly so, but any one of the four of them could win it. You're going to have those four in there for most people in any order. Any of them, you know, with Russ being first, Russ being last, Harden being first, Harden being last out of those four. So it could come down to a couple of votes. And yeah,
you got to think
if it happened because of that, it's pretty average.
Yeah, you got to think this is probably going to be one of the most closest voting MVP races in recent memory.
It all depends on what angle you look at. Like, if you're looking at pure stats wise, you know, it's got to be Russ. But, you know, if you're looking at from an all round basketball aspect, then you're going to have LeBron and Kawhi in there. So, yeah, I suppose it all comes down to, you know, when people vote, how they're going to go about it. But just on that as well, I'm of the opinion that the media aren't the people that should be deciding this anyway.
Yeah, but then who does? Like, it's...
Yeah, who would...
It's always been a media...
I'd like the head coaches to decide. Vote.
Yeah. I don't... Yeah.
But that's what they... Don't they have coaches only and players only polls anyway? They don't hold any real weight.
They do, but it's not... Yeah, that's the thing. It's they have their own little, you know, NBAP, whatever... It's called award ceremony and stuff, but I mean the big ones. I don't remember who won that last year.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, that's the thing. It's not like the AFL where it's the officials putting in votes after every game. So it's sort of like it's different.
Do you think a system like that would work? Nah, too many games, man.
Too many games. Yeah,
there's too much stuff going on, but. And then, you know, the whole game-fixing thing rears its head again. But I just think as well with MVP, like I agree with what Miller's saying, but it maybe should sort of what they've done with All-Star, obviously without the fan vote, but maybe be a mixture of players and coaches and the media. Because you got the thing is as well with the media, like some of, you know, it's not just your, like, you know, LJ Todd and Miller doing the podcast, like they're pretty well respected guys that have been around the game for a long time. Most of them, it's pretty hard.
So you're telling me this ballot that I got isn't real?
Oh, it's real to us.
Yeah,
but so I don't know. But the thing is, it does, you know, it makes a big difference to people's money, and it does, you know, it is a big thing. So yeah, maybe they do need to look at it, but it's definitely going to be interesting MVP this year.
But they are, and actually having an awards night as well, aren't they? Rather than just sort of having...
That's the NBA player. I could be wrong. That might be the actual MVP, but I know the NBA Players Awards are going to be on BET or something like that. I don't know if they're doing an awards night with the actual official NBA awards as well. They may be.
Okay. Now, so the end of season honors are also being randomly handed... okay, there you go. Yeah, so instead of having the sort of... you know, the random announcements, you know, sort of here and there leading you through towards the finals, they're actually going to have an inaugural awards night on the 26th of June in New York City. So there you go.
Cool. And is that after the season?
Sorry.
I reckon that would be getting close to the end of... Actually, yeah, that would probably be after the finals, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, last year when we were in Barossa, we were watching the finals and that was like 10th of June.
Yeah, there you go.
I was in Hawaii, so there. Yeah,
so you're not going to know who the MVP is until after the finals. That doesn't sound right. Who knows?
All right.
Time will tell.
Yeah, speaking of things that aren't right, Miller, the Orlando Magic made a bit of a mistake today.
Yeah, well, I suppose it wasn't their direct mistake. It was their mistake for leaving a whiteboard, you know, for one, bringing in a rookie to sign some paperwork in a room where you have your targets for next season. But, yeah, I can't remember his name offhand. Signing with the Orlando Magic is a rookie. And
Patricio,
his agent or close
Guarino.
Friend was there you go. Patricio.
Almost 100% sure you said it wrong. Anyway.
Yep. Anyway, we'll call him Patty. So Patty was signing his papers, and his mate or manager or, you know, we'll call him Carlos. He was taking photos. And
racist.
It's an observation. But he was he took a photo. Anyway, I'm going to continue with the story now. Took a photo, and in the background there happened to be a whiteboard. And on that whiteboard was a list of players. And these players were broken up into hybrid trades and hybrid free agents and stretch big free agents and whatnot. So, a few of their targets that they have in mind for next season, with a few other interesting ones, including Dario Saric, which next to it in brackets has 4 AG. So possibly looking at trading Aaron Gordon for Dario Saric, which if it is the case, people on Twitter are losing their minds saying, oh, how could you do that? I'm like, well, I'd probably trade that in a heartbeat if I was Orlando.
Or though... There is the other option. AG and Saric are, you know, good buddies. So they're saying, oh, we'll get him.
For Aaron Gordon.
For AG.
Yeah. I see.
You know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but AG does have that vibe a little. Maybe.
I can't call someone Carlos.
Yeah, what do you mean? I said he's got the vibe like he's a friendly dude. I don't know what you're getting at. And I did qualify it by saying that there's nothing wrong with it. And there's not.
Yeah.
And also the hybrid trades. So is that like, you know, a hybrid guard, or is that like cyborg human or something?
There was no guards. There was literally no guards on that board. So we're not going to say forward guard.
Isn't that what a hybrid means? Like a hybrid, like can play the 3 or the 4.
Yeah,
sort of
or
thing?
Hybrid. Yeah, they're hybrid. So they have multiple capabilities. But I don't see how that works because they had Chandler Parsons in that list and hit by no fucking stretch of the imagination is he a hybrid of any kind.
Well, he is, kind of. He can score one point or turn it over once.
He's a hybrid.
He can do it all.
Maybe.
Yeah, hybrid virgin.
So, yeah, I think Orlando might be keeping their strategies closer to the heart now.
But it's just, look, that it's a fuck up that photo's got out. But it's even, you'd think that you know where that board is. Would you bring a rookie in? Like you wouldn't bring in anyone from the team around there.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
There's
heaps of technology around. What the fuck are they using? Leaving things on a whiteboard for everyone to see.
Maybe it's
put it on
like
the computer. Take it with you.
Maybe it's a bit like Phil and his triangle. Like there's some, you know, the old scouting guy at Orlando likes using whiteboard. He wants to use a chalkboard, except some players had asthma and the chalk was getting into their lungs and causing issues.
Do you know what it is, though? It could have been one of those things where, you know, they've got those whiteboards now that you can just press a button and they email what was ever was written on that whiteboard to... Yeah. It could have been just one of those. They had a meeting and no one just forgot to wipe it off.
There was a chalkboard there, but Bismack kept coming in, making out that he was LeBron and throwing the chalk in the air. Fuck's sakes, Bismack. Yeah, just brought the blackboard.
That was terrible.
I can just imagine it in my head. He just seems like a character.
All right, and a guy that probably should have been hired before now to be an NBA coach, Patrick Ewing, has signed with Georgetown for next season. So finally, we're going to see how Ewing goes as a head coach. He's been an assistant now in, well, how many years for different teams around the league? So his time is well overdue. Yeah. He should have been a head coach before now, really.
Yeah, and it's strange as well, like, you know, American sports are one of the few places where you can say, you know, he left the NBA for the money of college.
Yeah.
So, because those college coaches get paid, man.
It would actually, just on that, I feel like I'm going in a bit of a segue here, or sort of a bit of a tangent. Yeah, I know. So the bonus for the head coach for North Carolina today for winning the championship, just a cool $900,000.
Nice. Jeez.
And the players got some nice t-shirts and hats.
Yeah. They were allowed to have a sandwich today.
They can't even drink.
But isn't Coach K? I don't fact check here, but I want to say he's on like over 10 mil a year.
Yeah, but I would say maybe that
his deal is just over 10 mil.
But I'd say Calipari would have some sort of more.
Yeah,
but with Coach maybe, K, as maybe well, he'd also have Team USA duties as well in that, would he?
I don't know, man. But there's a couple of college. Maybe it is Calipari, but they're getting paid like well beyond what an NBA coach is getting paid.
Yeah, because they have the money coming in, and there's no outlay.
That's exactly right. They got no play. They got no one to pay. No one to pay, but they can't buy him a sandwich. They just want their sandwich.
Or is it time that college players start getting some sort of money?
This is what I think, right? I understand the student athlete part of it. So maybe, you know, and I think they have gone now and they do get like a small allowance so they can, you know, at least eat and stuff, like, because it was ridiculous before. But even look, all the money that's coming in, the players are the ones making the money. There's no mistake about it. So they should definitely get some of it. And if there's a problem giving it to them, I don't have a problem with them not. Like, all these guys are going broke, so put it in an account for all of them, and they get it when they retire from the NBA or something. And what these other guys, like, half of them don't even make the NBA, so it's not like they're all going on to have these massive careers. They're making all this money for people, and, you know, and they end up working at, like, Starbucks, you know. That could help them get a house or a car or something. I think they definitely should be getting something. There's no real question about that.
Yeah, well, there's going to be something in place. At the same time, though,
the college's excuse has always been they're getting a free education at a university.
Yeah, that's
so. And like, well, if they were, paid and for
I wouldn't
that's...
have a problem. I wouldn't have a problem if they were saying, well, you know, if we split up all the money that we're getting from TV rights, each player would get $30,000, but they're going to college. That'd be all good, but I guarantee it's not $30,000 that they'd be entitled to.
No, it'd be a lot more, definitely.
No, yeah.
There's no way.
But I suppose at the same time, you've got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, we'll make all the money that goes to the college then gets everyone, you know, you don't have to pay to go to college anymore. I don't see that happening.
No, after Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
All right, lads. Well, we're getting down to the end of the season so much. Eighth spot for the East and the West. We'll just go through. I'll go through some teams that are close and that could maybe snatch it, and then you guys can tell me who's going to take the eighth spot. Really, for the West, it's Portland, Denver, and maybe New Orleans, maybe. But it looks to be more just like
New Orleans and mathematical, Denver. And that's about it.
Yeah, yeah. Denver, Portland. Who do you think out of the two are going to make the playoff series?
Well, I don't think it matters with Nurkic going out.
Thank the big ball of curse for that one.
Yeah, Mo picked him up in fantasy. He's in finals. So
I posted a thing on our Facebook page just highlighting the season that he's having, and literally 20 minutes later it broke that he had a fractured leg.
Well, he had the double whammy. He had the big ballers and Mo, and we all know about that Mo curse.
Never escaped from that.
That Mo curse is powerful.
Yeah. I think
best thing he ever said in the Final Four was go Kentucky. I was like, thank fuck for that. So Portland, you're thinking?
They've already got a game and a half on Denver, and I don't see Denver getting that game back.
All right. The East is a bit more congested, shall we say. You've got, let's say, Detroit, Charlotte, Indiana, Miami, and Chicago. And even maybe Atlanta. So you've almost got 6 through to 11 that can make that thing. There's like 6 teams that can make it. Who do you think?
Yeah.
Out of those teams, there's going to be 3 that miss out. Who are the 3 teams you reckon they're going to miss out on the playoffs?
It's tough, man, because it is so close.
Yeah.
But
yeah, exactly.
I think if you have a look, I think Atlanta and Chicago are probably reasonably safe, maybe.
Yeah. I don't think Chicago is safe.
Yeah, man. Chicago have just put a couple games on. But it just, like, I think if you have a look at the last few games, I haven't seen a lot before, but Charlotte seemed to have sort of turned things around a little bit. They've put a couple of wins together, and over the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, their record hasn't been terrible. So I don't think Detroit have got a shot. And Pace has got PG, so they've always got a shot. But they're on a bit of a losing slide at the moment as well. So, you can, I mean, if you can call it, you're a smarter man than I am. And that, again, not saying much.
Yeah, well, see, even Milwaukee's only on 40 wins.
Safe, man.
You reckon?
No one's catching them. Milwaukee are playing pretty well at the moment too. They came, I mean, they were 9th and 10th not that long ago, sort of battling it out, and they just went on a bit of a run, and they're looking pretty good. All their guys there are starting to come along, and that happens with the young team. They get better as they go on. But I'd say out of those teams, Milwaukee is safe, and I'd love to see Miami make it.
Yeah, what a story, man. Miami coming from, you know, were they dead last?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
and they've got since the All-Star weekend, they've got a pretty good record, I think.
It's insane, man. They just kept winning. Yeah. And just worked their way up into 8. You know, and I think they're just going to keep motoring through. I reckon we might even see them push up to – I reckon they will overtake Chicago definitely, possibly Atlanta. I mean, who knows? You know, there's only a handful of games left. But for them to possibly finish 7th or 6th, that's
for them to make the playoffs.
Oh yeah, but to
it's
even
crazy, like
if you put it this way, okay, if you're Boston or Cleveland, because they're the two that are fighting out for the number one spot, who's the last team out of those that you want to see in that 8 spot?
It's Miami, man. Because out of those teams, they're the form team. I mean, they don't have the talent and stuff, but it's not like they've lost people. Like they haven't had the talent all year, and they've been pulling out big wins.
Yeah, I'm not looking it up, but I'm going to say they've got a young team and they're fresh. And the difference is between like Cleveland, they're at the scale, man. They're getting old. Like we're talking about this the other night, like LJ and that. And Cleveland's roster, it's almost like they're just old and they're tired and they're just worn out. So if they come up against a younger team like Miami, you might find that they can possibly sort of push them further than you expect.
Yeah, and I think I read today a story about looking at Gordon Hayward going to Miami in the off season. So
yeah,
so if they were to pull him, geez, yeah, exactly. All right, guys, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll chat a little bit about Aussie ball if we have anything to go on about, and we'll move on from there. Right here on the Big Ballers Podcast.
The Australia's favourite wrestlers. Here's where the action is. On Wrestle Radio Australia. Here's where the action is. Whether you're a fan or part of the industry, Wrestle Radio Australia is here for you with 4 packed shows. WRA with Todd Eastman and Josh Armour. Axe Cast with Josh the Axe Shooter. Healing Out with Muhammad Ali Vaez. And Drawing Heat with Beej and the Dude.
Mr. Juicy Gino Gambino is here with us. Wrestlers love talking about themselves.
Do we ever.
Or hearing about them.
But honestly, when I used to do a podcast back in the day, we used to find the more shit we talked about people, the more listeners we got. Because I'd be like, can you believe they said that about you? And then they'd share it. It was awesome. And then I didn't get booked for 2 years. But that's a different story.
It's all free. Subscribe on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or hear us at WrestleRadioAustralia.com. Wrestle Radio Australia, it's where the action is.
Welcome back. It's Big Ballers Podcast. Straight into Aussie Baller, and what is it? Free agent signing now, is it, Miller? You were saying?
Yeah. Free agency opened up a couple weeks ago. It started off with Toddy Blanchfield from Melbourne United heading to Sydney. Followed up with a few re-signings, including Matty Hodgson and Adam Doyle to 36ers. And also today, Nathan Sobey. We saw Corey Webster last week heading over to the Perth Wildcats after he and the New Zealand Breakers parted ways. But, I mean, he didn't. Did he play last season? Did he play much at all? Or was he
but he didn't play much.
Yeah, I mean, but still,
they shut him
down.
The injury was the official word, but.
Yeah. I mean, for the defending champions to pick up someone like him, though, is handy. But at the same time, who knows what's happening with Bryce Cotton? Do you think you'll see him in the NBL again next season, LJ?
Hell no, we won't see him in the NBL. He should never have been there in the first place. Like, the dude, it's great that we got him, but it was just by sheer luck, I don't think, you know, he would be looking to sign in the NBL, and he shouldn't. Like, the guy should be in the NBA. I don't really have any question about that.
Fair enough. That's that, I was only looking for an answer.
Fairly comprehensive. Is there any word that they've like another sort of like 2K signing or anything like that? Or is it way too early to sort of predict that sort of
too easy? It'd be too early to tell at the moment, man. It all depends on who picks up who, I guess, because you know someone may have the idea of coming over here and playing pro, but I mean,
I think you know with sort of the happenings with the 36ers in new owner that you know is apparently not. You know, not against spending some money to put a team together. I know that the Dream Academy, I think it is, which is Raheem Brown's thing that brought Terrence Ferguson over. They've got five or six guys that are interested in coming and playing in the league and skipping college. But it happened with Adelaide in the finals. You know, if they had that legit third import, that could have made a difference to getting him over the line. You know, so. That's something I think they'd look at as a team if it's the right thing to do. From last year, they didn't really have the money to spend, so bringing in Terrence Ferguson was probably as good as they were going to get. But now that you know they've got some money there, they might go a different way. But I have heard Terrence Ferguson next year, I think, will actually be coming back to Adelaide and running some clinics and that kind of thing with that Dream Academy. So it sounds like that thing's getting up and running, which could be cool. Sorry, mate.
No, go on. Like, I guess he'll be doing that in the off season, sort of thing. Well, the NBA off season.
They said this year he probably wouldn't be coming back with the draft and with all that kind of thing. But the idea is for next NBA, his first sort of off season and going forward, he'll come and take a bit of a break in Australia and help out with a few clinics and do those kind of things. I don't know if it was part of a deal that he signed with them or whatnot, but. There was an article on news.com.au about it, and yeah, he said he definitely loves Adelaide, and you know, sort of sees that as a part of him now, and he'll be back. Now, you know, could just be all talk; we might never see him, but there was that out there. And one other, I guess, piece of Adelaide news is that looks like we've signed or likely to sign Ramon Moore from who was with Melbourne United last year as their import. Who did look pretty good, but he was playing behind Goulding, so he didn't get huge chances. But if that's our second import and we get a solid third import with their sort of eight Aussies all locked down from this season, could have another good run.
Yeah, well, what's the story with Jerome Randall? Ready, he's trying to naturalize or?
No, you got that, fucked by body. And not in the way I wanted.
No, that was an April Fool's joke. Even on the radio today, they brought that one up. No, that was body just springing an April Fool's joke. But
I bit on that hard.
I think most people did.
Man, that was well done.
But just on that though, I mean, Jerome's a hard one to read because at the end of the season, you know, even the season before, he puts this heartfelt post up, you know, thanking Adelaide for his time here, blah blah blah. And the way it comes across, it's almost as if, you know, thanks, guys. I appreciate your time here. You know, it's time to move on to something new. So who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking through.
But he did that last year as well. Like, I think
That's what I just said.
Sometimes the way Jerome writes things, I think he's not, you know, as poetical with his words as maybe he likes to be. But I think a lot of the times when he writes stuff, you can take it as something pretty bad and then it turns out that it's not.
Yeah. I'm just going through.
That's just me hoping.
Yeah. I'm going through the the quick rundown of who's unsigned or who's a free agent, and really like guys like the Sydney Kings and the United, they've only got like four guys that are contracted.
That's pretty normal because NBL you only sign a 1 or 2 year deal. So.
Yeah. Because Illawarra were in that position last year and they pretty much retained everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's just a matter of just.
It's not like, and I don't mean this in a bad way. Like I love the NBL, but a lot of those Aussie guys, it's not like they got people knocking on their doors, so they can sort of work out what imports they can get, work out what's there, and then you know go back to those guys. So.
Hmm. All right. So is there anyone because we're, mostly Adelaide based team, is there anyone from this squad who are free agents that you wouldn't want back and you'd, would you want to get rid of to move on to someone else?
Nah, they all...
Nah, try and keep this squad together, man.
Yeah, like if I think you look at what, you know, Perth's been able to do and even New Zealand, they're sort of natural players have been together, you know, their core of the team, and then they fit them around, you know, albeit Perth with, you know, run really well and have a lot of money, bring those imports in. And if you've got that core, you know, core of the team always sticking together, you can bring the imports in around them that are talented, and you're still going to have your systems in place and your leaders in place. So I think that's pretty important if you want to have like a, you know, a lot of success. And they've got a lot of young Aussies there now. And one thing we didn't mention is they re-signed Joey Wright to a 5-year deal, which we don't have all the details of that, but there'd have to be some kind of outs here and there, because a 5-year deal as a coach is almost unheard of unless you're Pop. But I think from the 36ers, like being a 36ers fan, they've got an owner in now that seems reasonably passionate about it and seems like he's got some pretty deep pockets, and they've got their, you know, young Aussie core sort of locked down for at least the next 2 years. I think we've got most of them. So, you know, and Joey for 5, it looks like they're doing all the things to, you know, to be successful, and that's all you can really ask for at the end of the day.
Mm. And what about Melbourne's appointment of Dean Vickerman as their new head coach?
Oh, gun. Like, great move.
Anything was an improvement from Demopoulos, wasn't it?
He was horrible, man. Like, he was, yeah. He was just out of his depth, I think. I don't know where they found him, but it was probably hanging out with Marty Clark or something. But he, he just wasn't good. And the team wasn't good. Like, they had a good roster and they've got, you know, good fan base, good ownership and stuff. And he just wasn't right. I think one thing that this is going to be interesting for, more than for Melbourne, is Sydney Kings. Because,
yeah, I was going to ask,
you know, you got Andrew Gaze there, who, you know, he's a great personality and a really likeable guy, but as far as an NBL level coach, I don't know how it'll go. You know, I think, yeah, but, you know, there's guys, you know, Sean Dennis and a few other guys hanging around that have been, you know, NBL head coaches that don't have a gig at the moment. So, you know, if they find someone that's willing to sort of come in there and do that, there's guys out there that can help him.
Yeah, but it's definitely going to be a test of who was coaching Sydney last year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, you know, they had a good roster last year and it all fell apart, and there's got to be a reason for that. So.
Yeah. Is there anything else NBL wise you want to talk about, boys?
Before nah.
We move on.
Nah.
I'll be here all night if you don't cut me off.
Oh dear. All right, well, let's move on to Big Baller, No Baller then. Miller, do you have a Big Baller, sir?
Fills
the room.
I'm just trying to think whether I want to go the obvious one or go with something different. If someone else has got one, they can go first.
I forgot we do this still.
I was just going to say the UNC team, because they dug back. They dug down in a couple of those games where it was very much almost what happened the year before to them, and they seemed to just come through. It seemed like this was their year. Do you know what I mean? Like, last year they got done on that unbelievable shot, and I think it was, I can't remember what game it was, but that was the shot. The game to get into the championships was very much the same as that, where I thought, fuck, they're going to get done again. And they come through and win it. So I thought it was massive. And as much as you can say, like, Roy Williams got paid $900,000 for that win. For, you think about what these guys, like college coaches, have to do. Because basically, most guys that come into the NBA now are all one and dones. So every year, they've got to try and recruit a whole new class of guys that potentially can help win them a championship and get them paid. And if they don't do it, they're going to be out of a job. So I guess fucking actually Roy Williams would have to be my Big Baller for just the job he's done over the last couple of seasons with UNC. That give gone enough time?
Yep. I'm going to give mine, still remaining on the college route. I'm going to give mine to Nigel Williams-Goss in the Final Four. He rolled his ankle like a motherfucker. Oh. And he just kept playing like it was nothing. And he played a blinder as well. I mean, if Marcus Smart had done that, rolled that ankle, he would have had that leg amputated. So, he's my big baller.
Yeah. I think, what's his name, did that too. The UNC's point guard earlier in the tournament as well. And fought through. So these dudes, because you know half these dudes are trying to play for maybe a spot in the draft. So they might dig down a little bit deeper.
That's it.
LJ?
Yeah, well, because I hate stats and shit, and I hate like people being named co whatever, I'm going to give a co big baller to Russ and Harden for, it's the first time ever, I think, two players have got more than 20 triple-doubles, and they've been doing them with, 50 points, 40 points. They're breaking all kind of records. We're sort of seeing between the two of those guys records that, and, stats achieved that we probably didn't think would happen. Statistically, they've been pretty nuts. So, yeah, I'll give them a shout-out.
Yeah, when you think about it, it's an unbelievable season for these guys to have.
Oh, yeah.
Games incredible. Like, because basically, you could throw a double team on one of those for every game if they wanted to try and stop them from getting that triple double, but it doesn't seem to be able to stop these two. So yeah, unbelievable. No baller, Miller. Have you got one, mate?
Yeah, it's got to go to the Orlando Magic. That's it. Like for even using a whiteboard. Like, come on, it's fucking 2017.
Yeah.
All right, yep. LJ.
Well, I'm a firm believer that if someone's down, you get down there with them and you stick the knife in and you put the boot into them. So I'm going to go with Oregon and give it to them for those just giving up those two offensive rebounds to just throw the game away and get knocked out when really all you had to do was just grab a rebound,
Not even that. Just stop them from getting the rebound.
They missed 4 free throws in a row. Like, you couldn't get more of a chance to make a comeback from there, and they sput it up big time. There's some guys there that's going to haunt them for a long time to come. Like, as you guys know, the Final Four is where, people can stand out and go from being, the major picks are always there, but go from being a, second rounder to early second rounder, late first rounder and stuff by things they do. And those, a lot of guys, 5, 6, 7 guys just missed that opportunity because they didn't grab a rebound.
All right. Mine is because we haven't done this for a while, so we haven't really had a chance to talk about this. LaVar Ball. Shut the fuck up.
Jesus.
Actually, you know what? We haven't heard from him almost be a week, would it be?
Yeah, because
would it have been around the time the sun got knocked out? Yeah,
that's what I mean. It's good. It's good. It's been good.
But yeah, I've never seen another parent be so dominant in the news when the son hasn't even been drafted yet as this dude. And seriously, if you just, the more you talk, the more pressure you're putting on your kid, really, aren't you?
Oh, it's ridiculous. And I mean, the kid's pretty good. Like, he doesn't need that talking up. Like, his game can speak for itself. If anything, he's taken away from it, I'd say.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter what. Like, coming out and saying he's better than Curry, and I mean, fucking, just shut up.
He reminds me of a dude who was, like, up late and, like, saw a couple of Conor McGregor interviews or something and thought, oh, that'd be fun.
And this works for him.
Just rolled with it. But, yeah, he's a bit of a dick.
But even that, that chat you had with Stephen A. Smith, I had to turn that off halfway through because that was so cringe. I'm like,
is that not the worst combo of all time?
They couldn't stop smirking. No, like they couldn't even keep a straight face.
Him and Colin Cowherd, that was the bad one.
Fucking Colin Cowherd. Don't even get me started on that wanker. How he managed to get that gig, I will never know. I mean, us having a podcast is ridiculous, but him having a fucking TV show like that is absolutely ludicrous.
It's stupid. It is stupid.
Anyway, that's a different show.
Yeah, almost as stupid as saying that you could beat Michael Jordan one-on-one.
No, yeah, well.
With a stick, maybe?
Yeah. At what? Like, yeah, what's he beating him at?
Oh, beautiful. Oh, Jesus, that's good. On that note, we're going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we'll do question of the day, and then we'll get out of here, right on a Big Ballers podcast.
Hey, I'm Will, the host of the podcast From the Sidelines, proud members of the FNX Network. I'm here to tell you why you should listen to our show. Do you need a comprehensive look over all the sporting happenings in the world on a weekly basis? Then you need From the Sidelines. Me and the guys discuss the bizarre, the serious, and the downright weird in sport every week. Seriously, one week we talked about jousting. It was so weird. If you love sport, you'll love our show. So come and join us as we look at sport from the sidelines.
Our social media guru, you are the head muckety muck over there at the Facebook and the Twitters. So unload the questions on us, mate.
All right. So the first one here is from young Patrick on the old Facebook machines.
Is that the same guy that they took the photo of in Orlando? Different Patty.
Different Patty. Okay.
Different Patty. Yeah, there's no whiteboard in his profile picture. I don't think so.
Okay.
He wants us to discuss whether the Warriors were disrespectful at the end of their game against the Wizards the other day. And for those that don't know, the Warriors are up by 4,000 points, and JaVale McGee shot a three with the clock winding down. What do you think, Scotty?
Well, to be fair, it's probably the only time they've let JaVale out a shot. So, I mean, got to give him that. Fuck.
That it's being disrespectful and everyone's, you know, a bit up in arms in it, but to be fair, like, it is sort of an unspoken thing of something that you just don't do.
You just run down the clock and wait it out, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, fights have almost started because people try to take a layup when the game's already done and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't really have a problem with it. You're a professional ball player and all that, but it is kind of something that you don't do, but I don't think it's a big deal. It's just because, if it wasn't the Warriors, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah.
Also, the way that Brandon Jennings actually carried on about it, like, as he shot it, he pushed him, and then after the game, he had a bit to say about it, which I think is pretty rich coming from someone pulling out a finger gun at someone in a bit of push and shove.
Yeah. Also, I don't want to say anything against JaVale McGee because his mum might come after us, so it's like,
hey, man, people can say what they want about JaVale, but he's having a good season.
He makes bonehead plays and stuff, but he's, you know, he's a solid player. He fits in well in that team.
Yeah, because he can do those things. And, like, to be honest, they don't care.
If it was a 500 team and he was doing those things, it'd be a lot of trouble.
He's reined it in a bit, though. He hasn't been.
Oh, you can. Yeah, you can see that he has those moments.
Full court, Holt layups and stuff. Like, Holt is JaVale.
That reference. Oh, yeah. That reference would mean a lot to many people.
I don't know. I think most people know Holt.
Yeah, true. Our three listeners. But
hey, 27 subscribers. Thank you.
Yep. Well, it's just my parents have got 19 of those accounts.
Yeah, that would not surprise me at all.
Yeah, they're surprisingly tech savvy. next question here also rotates.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know why it rotates, but I can't even think at the moment. It's about the Warriors.
Relates.
Yeah, relates. Oh man, Lord. This the end of daylight savings has got me cooked.
Move to Queensland, you'd have to worry about that shit.
I used that as an excuse for getting to work late today, but it didn't work.
Spewing.
Went the wrong way.
I just did my practice that time. All right, so with KD nearing return, will he ruin the Warriors' chemistry that they currently have? This is from Bully. They need to find him his 20 shots. Obviously this is off the back of them going on an 11-game winning streak at the moment.
I think Bully needs to be more worried about the Cavs being the 29th ranked player of the team in defense. Well,
I was going to wait. We'll answer this, and I'll have a follow up question for you guys. So, What do you think, OJ? Do you think it's going to cause an issue with any chemistry?
Nah. I mean, they look like they missed him the first few games when he was gone. Since that, they've been playing pretty well. If anything, it's going to have got some minutes and shots and confidence into guys that, you know, had to give up the shots for his 20. But it's not, you know, Steph's going to shoot his shots, Clay's going to shoot his shots, and KD's going to shoot his shots. So most of the main guys aren't going to be giving up shots. It's just there's going to be a few less minutes to the guys that filled the spot, and I don't see it
who was
being a big deal at all.
Just quietly.
Matt Barnes?
Can we just say, actually, you know what? I'm going to throw a late big baller into Zaza. He is a smart, smart man. They were almost going to sign Jose Calderon. And so what he did is he injured KD, forcing the Warriors to move on from that. Sign Matt Barnes, KD comes back, and team's complete.
All right, next.
But just to touch on what LJ is saying. You know, you're not really going to take shots from players, but in saying that, I think Steph needs to be old Steph more than what he was sort of first half of this season, because a lot of times he was looking for that pass off and trying to, you know, be that passing point guard more. He's a scorer, man. Like, just play your game and whatever comes naturally. Don't try and force anything. So,
do you think he was looking too hard to try and involve?
Yeah, I think they were trying. Yeah, they were overusing the ball. I mean, if how many times do we see him come up, you know, off the dribble? You know, there's a bit of separation on the defenders, so he pulls up. With KD there, obviously, you know, he brings the ball up, and very rarely does he do that. So, you know, just feed the hot hand. If he's on, keep doing what he's doing. But obviously, you know, if Clay's doing what he's doing, then keep feeding the ball to Clay. It's all a matter of balancing who's hot on that, you know, any given night.
Yeah, I think that Steph's got a bit of the LJ syndrome, though, because you did notice that once KD was there was a new guy, Steph. He didn't go into his shell a bit, but he wasn't his normal self. You know, he didn't want to take a lot of those, as many as of those crazy shots. And since I did notice that since KD's been out, he has been taking more of those pull up from just inside half court, and you know, those Steph shots that only Steph can take. And yeah, I think like what Miller said, he's got that is who he is, and that is why they're so good. That's why he's won 2 MVPs. So, you know, it's good to defer and get guys into the game, but it's a 48-minute game, man. There's enough shots for everyone.
Yeah, all right. Moving on, mate. Who's next question, sir?
All right, so this one here is from MJB on Twitter. If you're going to start an NBA franchise, who would be your first pick and coach, past or present, and we can't pick the same as each other?
So any player that's ever played in their prime?
Yep, or coach.
Well, end, I mean, end, Michael end Jordan, or... and who fucking cares? I guess that's my answer.
you're trying to think of the worst coach, aren't you?
It doesn't matter.
Fucking Keith Smart.
No, he knows how to fucking say. He knows how to say the words Vinny Del Negro.
Yeah, but no, that's a good question. I'll think of a proper coach. You guys go first because I took MJ.
But it's a fair chance. Look, I'm going to say Pop because he's going to be my coach because I like.
That's like saying MJ.
Yeah, but I'm going to say Pop and Shaq.
Okay, I'm going to go, and this is totally against a Laker fan, Bill Russell and Red Auerbach.
Toddy's the only one old enough to know who they are.
Know who the fuck they are? Yeah. But kids, you look up those guys.
I think my grandma dated him once. I mean, Bill Russell. Not Bill Russell.
Bill Russell had more rings than he had fingers. Red Auerbach coached those teams. So,
yeah. But let's just quickly, not to go off on too much of a tangent. Yeah. He was playing against people that worked in the fruit and veg shop full time. And there was like 8 teams. 3 guys got paid to play and that was it.
You
played
what,
the same
though?
Team every week.
You know what, though? If those guys came up in this era and had the same training, the same, they would be just as good.
They'd all be point guards. None of them would be big enough to be in the opposition.
The thing is, they would still have been great players, but you know what the difference is? Bill Russell would have had a Bill Russell defending him.
Yeah.
Whereas they didn't have that. They still would have been great, don't get me wrong. But anyway, you can't compare eras. It's all done.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'll take, you know, I guess I'm taking MJ, and I'll take Phil.
Crazy Phil. Do you get crazy? Are you taking Crazy Phil or which era Phil?
No, he only wants the coach Phil. He doesn't want the general manager Phil.
Yeah, coach. I'm talking Chicago Phil.
just to prove how much you don't need a coach with MJ. Have New York Crazy Phil.
Yeah, that'd be fun. It wouldn't matter.
Have Derek Fisher. It wouldn't matter. Fuck.
Derek Fisher. Well, and
if
Matt
you
Barnes.
Just wanted, like, if you wanted awesome press conferences, you could just take like Stone Bill Walton as your coach. And it'd be fantastic. That dude is certified crazy.
You could take Adam Morrison from today's national game. That dude looked fucking cooked.
He is.
Right. Was he in the crowd, was he? I didn't really see
it. It was chewing his face off.
Oh, Jesus. It was good that he could get the day off being a greeter at Costco, though. It was good.
Well, it's good that he's still got enough money to buy gear.
Well, to be fair, it was Gonzaga stuff. He might have got it given to him from college. Yeah.
Did he still have the mo?
Nah, he had the old slicked back ponytail hair, though.
Jesus.
All right. Mo's not going to be happy that we're slandering Morrison.
Yeah, I know. Do we have any more questions?
Really starting to stumble.
Yeah, I know. This is what I'm saying. I'm trying to move us.
Going downhill quick. Jump ship.
Pull the nose up.
I was going to follow up on a question from Bullies Warriors one, but you know what? The podcast is going too long.
I'll summarize it pretty quickly. Bully, Cavs are shit. That's where we were going. Sorry, buddy. It was good to see you.
And he's a Gold Coast fan as well. That would suck.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's wrap this shit up.
All right. If you haven't already, guys, make sure you subscribe to the Big Ballers podcast, even. It's free and you can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast from. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Helps us get in...
5 stars.
Like 5 stars and all that shit. Helps us get out there so more people can hear the show and have to experience the same pain you guys are. Once again, big thanks to our partners at FNX Network. It's FNX.network. I think they're still the only ones going around like that, but yeah. Head on over to redbubble.com, get our Big Ballers podcast shirts. Be the first one. Someone help me pay for bandwidth, fuck. Alright guys, give out your Twitter handles, LJ.
I'm going to need a hand with this one. Thing is that at DaveWare49? No, DaveWareOKC.
Are we going to do this fucking dance every time you give out your handle?
I forget. It's like your mobile phone number. You never need to know it. I don't need to know my own Twitter handle.
I actually love it just by the fact that's how much it pisses Miller off. Just as soon as you start, you literally hear Miller go, ah,
he knows what it is. He knows what it is.
I forget. I think I know what it is, but I'm never sure.
Why would you even say 49?
I don't know. I think 31. That might be my Gmail account or something. I don't know.
It's at DaveWareOKC.
Thank you. I was close.
Just search Dave Van Gundy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Miller?
I think it's at Miltrain. No, it's at Miltrain.
Mine is at Beast Eastman. The show is at
B Bowlers Podcast. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Posting memes first before everyone copies them, steals them. I'm claiming that anyway.
That's been a fair bit, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, Charles Barkley coming out with his Wilt Chamberlain Photoshop one. I'm pretty sure I didn't see any others around the place when I did ours.
And occasionally, if you want to find a meme, check out Miller's personal account where he dupes the big ballers out of some credit and just, you know, wants to big note himself, go out on his own. You know,
feel free to make
go into business for himself.
I'm branching out, motherfucker. check it out.
All right, then. Until then, this has been Todd Eastman, Josh Miller, Dave Ware. We'll catch you, hopefully before the start of the playoffs, but who knows? Right here on the Big Ball, right here on the Big Ballers podcast. Oh dear.
If you're not careful, this will go to start of the playoffs.
This is mania.
Oh, there you go. Tony Romo has retired from football for a broadcasting career.
Really? 2 years ago or? Never.
Oi, you watch it. You watch your mouth, mate. Man, Dak Prescott really fucking fried his career, didn't he? Man, forced him to retire.
You would think he. You would think there would be other teams that would pick him up, surely.
Nah, maybe, man. Could you imagine the money that they'd be offering him to a cushy broadcasting job?
It wouldn't be worth it. That's it. All that training and stuff, or just, you know, sit around and watch games and get paid to talk. It wouldn't be a hard decision. That's why you see guys that probably could be coaching in the NBA not coaching. Yeah, Mark Jackson and Van Gundy could quite easily, I'd say, get a head coaching job, but
A lot less stress too, I guess.
Oh yeah, that's it. Yeah, we're going back from the break, or are we back from the break?
No, we're going to go back from the break. Okay, in three. All right, welcome back.